Good evening. All right, good to see everyone tonight. We are thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we are very glad that you are here. Let me say at the very beginning of the lesson, tonight we're going to be going through the Back to the Bible series, and we have some men that have passed out the booklet number one. If you are here and you do not have one, but you would like to have it, we're going to be going through it tonight. If you can raise your hand right now, we will have someone bring you one. If anyone needs one, raise your hand right now and we will get those. I see just a few hands, but most people have it. We have been on a trip this last week. We got back in town. We went and saw our family. It was a very good trip. But Wednesday night, I'm going to be gone again. I'm going to be speaking on a summer series at the Rivergate Congregation. I think it's in, where is it? Goodlettsville, Tennessee, maybe? I've never been there before, but we will be out on Wednesday night and Ben will be teaching. But we look forward to being back with you this next Sunday. For the last several months, we have really been focusing on evangelism. The elders had Brother Rob Whitaker come in, and he did an evangelism seminar for us. And then we followed that up, in which I did a lesson entitled, Have You Talked to Anyone About Their Soul? 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, I shared with you a Bible study that I have put together and that I have used many times over the years. I have it in a PDF format, and a lot of people have asked for that. I've sent that out. If you would like that, I would still be happy to send it out to you. Tonight, we're going to continue our focus on evangelism. Now, you might say, why are we spending so much time on evangelism? Two reasons. Number one, in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said when he was on this earth that his mission was to seek and to save the lost. Now, Jesus is the head, the church is his body, and so the body has to have the same mission as the head. And so, if Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost, our mission has to be to seek and save the lost. But, brethren, I'm afraid that sometimes we have drifted from that. Sometimes we get caught up in all the activities going on in the church and we forget that our primary mission is to save the souls of man. That's reason number one. Reason number two relates to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, and that is where the Bible says that if we don't warn the wicked to turn from his wicked way, that evil man will be lost in his wickedness. But then he says this, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Now, what does that mean? That wicked individuals will lose their souls eternally if they don't hear the gospel. But then the Lord says, I'm going to hold you responsible. And so that makes this extremely, extremely important. They're going to go to hell, but you're going to be held accountable. In fact, he says their blood will be upon your head. Now, a few weeks ago, we passed out a card, a bookmark, if you will, and I asked everyone to write down the names of some people that you thought would be good converts, good potential contacts, and to put that in your Bible. And I'm going to ask you tonight, if you've got it, to pull it out and look at it again and just ask yourself, have I reached out to any of those people? Am I studying with any of those people? And I want to encourage you to keep looking at those names. We don't want this to be something that we focus on evangelism for the next 2 or 3 months and then that's it. Evangelism needs to be a lifestyle for us. It needs to be that every time someone walks in that door, we are thinking about evangelism. Someone might think, well, you know, they asked me out to eat because they want to convert me. That's exactly why. Because we care about your soul and we want you to go to heaven. And ultimately, that is the greatest thing that we could do for you, get to know you and visit with you so that we can teach you the gospel. We can't forget what our mission is. Now, a couple of things, random things, and then we're going to get into the lesson tonight. Chase suggested to me that I do a lesson in which I address some of the tough, rough questions that sometimes come up when you're doing a Bible study. And I thought that was a great idea. He suggested the question like someone might say, so you think you're the only ones going to heaven? Or maybe a person says, well, my mama died in such and such church. Just difficult questions. I thought that's a great idea. And so I'm going to ask you, If you can give me some questions that you would like to hear addressed, I'm going to do a lesson on that as part of the evangelism series. Questions that are difficult that will come up in a Bible study that we need to be prepared to deal with. Second random thing, and I'd like to hear your feedback on this. I have started working on an idea for an app for your phone, for your mobile device. I'm going to call it something like the Salvation app. It's going to be very simple. I'm going to have one section in which I've got videos that teach the gospel plan of salvation, that teach the one church, and that talk about eternity, where we go when we die. Then I'm going to have a second section that will have printed Bible study material that you can either do on your tablet or you can print it out if you choose. My Bible study material will be there, and I'm talking to Rob Whitaker to see if we can get permission to put his on there as well. The third section is going to have videos and or printed PDFs that deal with some of the tough questions that will come up, such as, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized. We're going to have a section on that. Then the fourth section is going to deal with a way to contact a live person. And so if a non-Christian goes to the Apple Web Store and downloads this app and they start watching it and they want a real individual, they can click this. We will put them in contact with a Christian who will call them or do a video chat, a Zoom chat or something, and have a Bible study. So that's what I'm working on. I'd like to hear your feedback and your thoughts on that, and I'm hoping to have that develop in the next few months. All right, what we're going to do tonight is we are going to talk about the Back to the Bible series that Rob Whitaker left us. It is a three-tracked series that you can use to teach someone the gospel. There is a fourth one that is designed to use if you only have one shot. If you think this person's not going to sit through three, there's a fourth one. I'll say more about that in a minute. But we're going to approach this tonight assuming that you are going to go through all three lessons. Now, we're probably not going to cover the entire lesson tonight. Rob says it takes 90 minutes to cover a lesson. And I thought, if I spend this much intro and then do 90 minutes on this, y'all are going to kill me. So we're probably not going to, I'm just going to watch the time. And I want to say this, I would like your honest feedback. As we go through this track tonight, is this useful? Is this helping you to use this better? Are you learning from it? Is this a boring approach? If it's not, then we will approach this in a different way. So give me your honest feedback. All right. Let's see. I always get this thing backwards. There we go. All right. How do I use this material? It is designed to be done in three studies. You can see them here. There are three. There is the green one, lesson number two, or lesson number one. Blue is number two, and red is number three. And if you don't think you can get three studies, this is the fourth one. It's called Does It Matter? And it's kind of a summary of everything in one study. I actually like this one a lot, and so do we have any of those? Okay, we do have some on the table out there. If you're interested in getting that, you can get it. I'm very fond of that one myself, and I have used it. All right, we're going to assume tonight that you're going to start with number one, the green one, and everyone in here should have one of those. If you're going to conduct a study such as this, you're going to need three things. You're going to need the booklets, at least the green one. Each person is going to need one. So if you're studying with a man and his wife, you'll have one and each of them will have one. Number two, you're going to need your evangelism simplified workbook. And then number three, of course, you're going to need your Bible. When I shared with you my personal Bible study method, I began with a survey. And in Rob's material, they do something very similar. So at the very beginning, you're going to give them this survey to fill out. He has it on page 111 of the Evangelism Simplified workbook. You can make copies of that if you like. And it's going to go through the following questions. Do you know that God exists? Yes, no, or I'm unsure? Just ask the question. Don't discuss it. Just let them answer it. If yes, why does He exist? Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Yes, no, unsure. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is God? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that the entire Bible is God's Word? Do you believe the Bible contains contradictions, mistakes, or false statements? Sometimes when I have found out that a person believes the Bible has mistakes, I have stopped the whole study and I have gone a different direction. And we have gone back and we have studied the fact that the Bible is from God and it's reliable. And if that happens, we can have a study about that. Do you believe that God will do everything that He has stated in His Word? Are you saved? If yes, at what point were you saved? What did you do to become saved? How old were you when you were saved? Have you been baptized? How old were you when you were baptized? Circle the word that describes your baptism, sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. If you've been baptized, were you saved before or after your baptism? And if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? After they fill that out, just put it to the side. You're not going to use it right now. This will be helpful for you to know about this person when you're teaching them, and it will be helpful later as you go through this. All right, let me introduce for you the Green Booklet. This first booklet is designed to help the student understand authority in religion. Brethren, this is important. If you're going to study with someone, they have to understand that the Bible is from God and it is all authoritative, and that's what this book does. This booklet is going to help them understand authority in religion, how we got the Bible, that you can't add to or take away from the Bible, and finally that we live under the New Testament today, not the Old Testament. Now you can see that this booklet is color-coded. You see down the right-hand side here, there's the orange, the purple, the orange, blue, purple. I can't tell the colors from here, but you can see the colors down the right-hand side, and each one of those represents a different section. As you go through this lesson, you're going to be teaching this student, your friend, how we got the Bible. And so, but Brother Whitaker suggests that you take a piece of paper and you trace this as you go through the study, and he provides a worksheet that you can use. It's on page 66 of your Evangelism Simplified workbook. It is called The Map of Revelation, and you can see it as we go. I'm going to explain it as we go. I put a slide in here next to each one to help you see it. All right, let's begin with the workbook. If you've got your book, you can open to John 8:32. And you ought to be seeing the same thing. Is what you see in your book, is it matching this? All right, very good. John 8:32, this is where you're going to begin with the person. And you are going to ask the individual to read it and then answer the question. And have them read it out loud. You want them to read it and know this came from the Bible. And it's got, of course, the text right next to each one. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then you're going to ask the person, Jesus says the blank will make you free. What is it? Jesus says the truth will make you free. Then you're going to go John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus tells us that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Easy questions, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to read the verse and you're going to answer, and they're going to be very, very easy. And then you're going to point out in the very beginning here, we learn two things. Number one, we learn that we can know the truth and that we must know the truth if we're going to go to heaven. This is not that I can do whatever I feel. I have to know the truth, and the truth is the only way I can go to heaven. And then secondly, on the next question, John 4:24, I have to worship God according to the truth. I can't just worship Him however I feel. See what you're doing as you're laying the groundwork here? You're showing him it is only by the truth that you can be saved, and you have to worship God according to the truth. So very, very important. All right, then you're going to go to the next slide here. Oops, I'm filling it in. All right, then we're going to go to our map of Revelation. On the map of Revelation, you're going to write across the top that all truth starts with God the Father. Now, I'm going to show you why in a minute. The next slide, the next page is going to answer this for you. All truth starts with God the Father. Follow me on this. All right? Then we're going to go to John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? And he's going to answer it. What is truth? Thy word is truth. And so the word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. All right? John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine. Now listen to this last part. But the Father's which sent me. Jesus said, the word which I speak is not mine, but the Father's. Now here's the question. The teaching of Jesus was from who? The Father. It's easy. See how easy these are? If a person reads the verse, they're going to know the answer. And so you fill it in. It is going to be the Father. All right? Let's go to the next slide. That's why you see, when you do your map of Revelation, all truth starts with God the Father. Jesus said, the word that I speak is not mine. He said, I got it from the Father. Revelation starts with God the Father. All right? Let's go to the next page. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He said, God, the Father, used to speak by the prophets, but now he speaks by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. Today God speaks to us through his Son. Next, John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. God has given all things into the hands of Jesus. So we go to the map of Revelation. All truth started with God the Father. Jesus said it came from him. But then he says that today he speaks to us. The Father speaks through the Son, and he gave all things through the Son. All right? We're really going to drive this home in these next few passages here. Notice Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has all power, and in heaven and in earth. John 17:2, as thou hast given unto him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. Jesus has authority over all flesh. What do we have? We have God the Father had the message. He gave it to the Son to deliver and speak to us. He gave him all authority. He gave him all power over all flesh. Here's our next one, Ephesians 1:22-23. God the Father has put all things under His, Christ's feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. God made Jesus to be the head over all things to the... What is it? It's circled in red right there. All right, to the church, all right? So he gave him authority over all flesh, over all things, all authority, all power, authority over the church. All right? Does this mean Jesus has all authority over the church? Yes or no? Yes, it does. Let's go to the next one. John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. At the judgment, we will be judged by the words of Jesus Christ. I hear somebody saying it. By the words of Jesus. Hold these. We're building on this. All right? John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who has the words of eternal life? Jesus does. Should we go to anyone else, parents, preachers, relatives, friends, for eternal life? No. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Peter said, to whom should we go? We can't go to anybody but you. You have the words of eternal life. So what do we have? God the Father had all truth. He gave all authority to Jesus over all flesh. He has the words. It is His words that are going to judge us at the last day. All right? Let's go to the next slide. Notice that the color of the tab has changed now from orange to purple. This is dealing with the fact that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. In John 14, 26, here's our passage. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus is saying to his apostles, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What's Jesus saying? He's telling his apostles, everything that I said, the Holy Spirit is going to say to you. Now, Jesus had all authority. Where did he get it? From the Father. Now, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you everything that I said. Did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and bring all things that Jesus said to their remembrance? Yes or no? Yes. When the apostles taught by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were they teaching in their own words or were they teaching in the words of Jesus? Teaching in the words of Jesus. All right? So we're going to trace the map of Revelation. It began with the words of the Father. He gave all authority to God the Son. Jesus has all authority. His words will judge us on the last day. He said, the words that I have spoken are going to be delivered through the Holy Spirit. So we keep tracing this. John 16, 16, Jesus says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you, the apostles, into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Brethren, that's important. The Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into how much truth? All truth. All right? Jude and verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now here's the question. Was the faith delivered in the lifetime of the apostles? This is what you get. Jesus had all authority. He said the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to teach you all the things that I said unto you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach the apostles this. Then Jude says that the faith was delivered once. Literally, it means once and for all. Was the faith delivered in the lifetime of the apostles? Yes or no? Yes. All right? Since the apostles were guided into all religious truth in their lifetime, should we expect any new revelations today? If they got all truth and it only came one time and it came in their lifetime, you know what that means? God's not speaking to us today. He's not giving us any new revelation today. All right, we're tracing the map. God the Father had all authority. He gave it to the Son. The Son has authority over all things. He said the Holy Spirit is going to deliver the words that He spoke to the apostles. All right? The inspired Word is our only guide in religion. Now let's trace this. John 20 and verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, but these are written in this book. He says that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, this is what I want to emphasize. He said these things are written so that you might believe. Why do we have the written word? He said there are a lot of other things Jesus did, but these have been written down to produce faith. All right? Here's our question. These things are written that you might believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you might have, all right, that's right, life through His name. All right, 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, number one, these things are written so that you might believe. Then He says, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Here's the blanks. These things, I'm going to fill it in for you for the sake of time. These are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? Hearing. Here's the next one. I got to pick up the pace here because I'm only like a third of the way through these slides. All right, James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You know, we don't talk that way. That's why I don't use the King James as much. How many of you have said superfluity of naughtiness this week? Maybe your children have expressed superfluity of naughtiness. It literally means overflowing of wickedness. Maybe they've done that. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. What is able to save your souls? The engrafted Word. The Word was given so that we might believe. The Word is given so that we may know that we're saved, and the Word saves our souls. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How is one born again? By the Word of God. Should we go to any other source to learn how to be saved? If you're born again by the Word of God, should you go to any other source? No. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture. Now, what is Scripture? It's the Word of God. That's what we've been talking about. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That literally means complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Does the Bible thoroughly furnish you unto every good work, yes or no? That's what it says, yes. Do we need additional revelations to make us complete before God? No. It says through the Bible, we are complete. Do we need the Book of Mormon to make us complete spiritually? No, we do not. Do we need church traditions, manuals, creed books, confessions of faith to make us complete spiritually? No, we do not. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Has God given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Yes, He has. Since God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Bible, should any other source be used as religious authority? No. All right, we go back to the map of Revelation. God the Father had all power. He gave it to God the Son. He gave Him authority over all flesh. His words are going to judge us in the last day. He said the Holy Spirit is going to come to the apostles and remind them of all of the things that He said. The Holy Spirit did come in the first century and gave that message to the apostles who wrote it down in the Bible. And we are told that through the Bible, we have the words of Christ, which will judge us in the last day, and that we have all things pertaining to life and to godliness. That is the map of Revelation. Now, very quickly here, we must not add to or take away from the Word of God. Let's go through these fast. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Would you please God if you added to or deleted anything from His Word? According to that, you have to say no. Galatians 1 and verse 6, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Will you be accursed if you add to or take away from the Bible? Yes. you will. Next, Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. It means he didn't tell them to do that. These men offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Did they alter God's commandments? Yes. Was God pleased with them? No. Must we be careful how we handle the Word of God? Yes. 2 John in verse 9, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, is God pleased? Do we want to please God? Matthew 15 in verse 9, Jesus said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Their worship to God was unacceptable because they taught man's doctrines. Lagging here. They taught the commandments of men. Matthew 7:21. I'm going to have to wrap up in a minute because we're getting long. Matthew 7:21. Jesus on the day of judgment says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who will be allowed to enter heaven? He who does the will of the Father. Do we want to go to heaven? Yes. This is the last section. I can finish this up. We're in the last section. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God who at sundry times... This is asking, which law are we under today? God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken to us by the Son, by whom also he made the world. God formerly gave his revelation to God by the prophets. Today he speaks to us through his Son. Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus came and spake the word saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has how much power? All power. Are we under, which law are we under today? Here we are, John 12, 48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We will be judged by the words of Jesus. John 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Here is the next one. Hebrews 9 and verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption and transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Is Jesus the mediator of the New Testament? Yes. When did the New Testament of Jesus go into effect? At his death. Hebrews 8, 6 and 7. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there should have been no place sought for the second. Is Jesus the mediator of a better covenant? Yes. If that first covenant, that is the Old Testament, had been faultless, would God have given us the second covenant, the New Testament? No. Why do we have the second covenant? Because the first one was inadequate. All right? Why was it inadequate? What was the fault with the first covenant? Notice what it says in verse 8. He found fault with them. It wasn't a fault with God's law. We're almost done here. Hebrews 8 and verse 13. And that he said, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. When God gave the new covenant, did he make the first one, the old one, no longer in force? Yes. He made the Old Testament no longer in force. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, that is Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified under the law of Moses. Could a man be justified under the law of Moses? No, he could not. Galatians 3, 11 through 13, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Is the law of faith, that is, the Old Testament law, is it of faith? No. Did Christ redeem us from the curse of the old law? Yes, he did. All right, I'm going to wrap up here. Colossians 2:14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." When was the bond written in ordinances abolished? That is, the Old Testament law that was written, when was it abolished and taken out of the way? When Jesus nailed it to the cross. I'm going to skip ahead going through some of this just for the sake of time. But what you're going to get when you get to the end here is the fact, let me get to the last slide, here we go. This is the map of Revelation. All truth came by God the Father. Then it was given to Jesus Christ the Son. He had all authority. He told the apostles that the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I said unto you. He did that. He delivered all truth to the apostles who wrote it down in the Bible. The Bible contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. It was once delivered, and today we live under the New Testament. Do you see how much ground you've covered in that? You have laid the foundation of Revelation so that as you go through these next few studies with the person, if the person wants to go back and hold the things under the Old Testament, you've already established we don't live under the Old Testament. You've already established we're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. All right, I'm going to stop there for tonight. Let me know what you think about going through the tract in this way. If you think it's beneficial, we'll go through the second one and the third one. This is the way that Rob has designed it. If not, we'll go through it in a different way, and I'm prepared to do that as well. It may be that there is someone here tonight who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you are here and you are not a Christian, you need to know that to become a child of God, you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Tonight, you have that opportunity. We are ready to assist you. If you're a Christian and you've got sin in your life and you desire the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, we are also ready to help you with that. We would count it an honor to go to God and to pray for you. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation?